This is a Fox News alert. 13 hostages have been set free in Gaza. I'm Dave Anthony. The first group of women and children of the 50 Hamas has agreed to release, handed over to the Red Cross, now in Egypt, in exchange for 150 Palestinian prisoners held in Israel who will also be released. The deal also includes a four-day ceasefire now in place in Gaza, where more food and fuel and medicines being shipped in. Fox's Trey Yingst reports from Israel.
I've been talking with civilians today who are inside, and they say this is a moment of relief for the more than 2 million Palestinians who are living under Hamas rule still in the southern part of the Strip. And now that the Israeli air and ground campaign has been paused, they are in the streets. They're going to some markets and even some images of Palestinians going to the beach today just to have a moment of clarity and a moment of relief, because there are so many civilians there who have been caught amid this war.
Unrelated to that Israel-Hamas hostage deal the U.S. helped broker, 12 Thai workers have been released, according to the Thailand prime minister. They've also been held captive since the terror attack. Dozens of other Thai agricultural workers who were working in Israel were also killed or taken hostage. A riot in Dublin, Ireland. It's been condemned by the prime minister, who blames far-right anti-immigration advocates for damaging stores and setting cars on fire in angry protests over a stabbing yesterday outside a school that left three children injured. Millions of Americans are out shopping on this Black Friday. That isn't quite what it used to be in stores with the rise of online retail and with the Black Friday deals already being offered weeks ago.
With prices rising and student loan payments resuming, retailers are relying more than ever on promotions and early offers. Look, even toy makers like Hasbro and Mattel are saying sales so far this year are down 8%.
Fox Business Network's Jerry Willis at the American Dream Mall in New Jersey, where there was drama after her report. A threat prompted police to evacuate everyone. America's listening to Fox News.
Everybody needs an edge. The other guy is working on his edge right now, whether you have one or not. Testosterone levels are at an all-time low historically, and individual T levels in men decline 1% every year with age. There's a new champion of natural testosterone boosters, and it's called Chalk, C-H-O-Q. 100% natural herbal extracts with game-changing effects on your energy, mood, and focus. Chalk Daily's main ingredient has been clinically studied to boost testosterone 20% in 90 days. Supercharge your masculinity with higher T and a massive boost of energy by taking Chalk's Male Vitality Stack every day. Take the 90-day Chalk Challenge and reap the benefits of the reigning champion of natural men's health with Chalk's Male Vitality Stack. For a very limited time only, Chalk, C-H-O-Q, is giving our listeners a 30% discount with promo code USA. That's C-H-O-Q.com, code USA, for 30% off while supplies.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. Yuma Police Department continues the crackdown this weekend on drunk drivers through a DUI detail and patrolling streets looking for impaired drivers. YPD recommends that those planning to drink also need to plan to designate a sober driver to get you home safely. Uber, Lyft, and similar services are useful solutions. YPD also reminds residents to do their part and call 911 on drivers who appear to be impaired. Holiday retail sales are expected to increase by as much as 4% this holiday shopping season, which kicks off in earnest this week with Black Friday. Many retailers account for half of their sales over the four-week holiday shopping period, and those who deliver your packages anticipate being able to meet the holiday demand. Officials with the U.S. Postal Service, FedEx, and UPS indicate they have the capacity to meet the demand, with each of those companies and agencies having already hired or in the process of hiring additional workers. For more, go to YumaDailyNews.com.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Both Derek Egberg and Tom Rush in studio. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, good morning.
Working the board, color commentary. Rouse Clark, good morning.
Yeah, how does that all work?
Well, you must actually be paying attention. You pulled your glasses down to your nose, so at least we know you're hitting the right buttons.
Am I seeing double all of a sudden? There's two.
Well, that's we overate for Thanksgiving. We're just a little heavier than we needed to be.
Well, we all do.
I see your hat says Ultra MAGA. Is that a new saying?
Or? It's actually pretty hilarious. No, it is a negative term used by liberals to describe, well, these Ultra MAGA guys. You know? So somebody made this hat and gave it away at a meeting to someone, to my girlfriend, Helen, and she says, you know, I'll never wear that. And I said, man, it's mine now.
I like it. Gold stitching.
Yeah,
looks
good. Ultra MAGA. So that puts me in the group, the hate group, I guess.
You are. Yeah. So I got a lot. I know you've got a lot. We got a few things jointly to talk about, but you've got some.
I guess we should ask. Everyone have a great Thanksgiving?
I was going to say, I had a great one, probably a couple pounds heavier. You?
Yeah, it was good. We had we counted off. We had like 52 people there. So
it was
pretty big.
Are
you
big done? Family.
Are you done cleaning up yet?
Well, we have our second Thanksgiving today for my wife's side of the family.
Are you serious?
So we postponed hers so we can do both of them, you know.
Wow.
So it makes it a little easier.
You don't want to put them all in the same house at the same time?
We can.
Is that like the Hatfields and the McCoys? You don't want to all get
little,
together or what?
Just a little mix. She likes to be her family likes to do it by herself. So
said,
well,
that's a
instead
big
of doing half day one and half the next, and you feel like you're running around, we just said, hey, let's do one on Friday, Thursday, one on Friday.
You already had 52. I mean, man, that would make it unmanageable.
Yeah. And it went for 9 hours.
What?
Yeah, we played cornhole and karaoke.
Oh, jeez.
fire pit. It all went late. So, anyways. But that's good. So, anyways, you know, every year they do the Thanksgiving dinner, what it costs, and they do a comparison from the years before. I don't know if you guys stayed on top of this.
Sounds like yours cost a bank loan.
So, so for 2023, was it more or less than 22?
Oh, well, I already know the answer. Yeah. It's less.
Okay. No, it's more.
It's less. Turkey went way down.
Not for his family. You got more people.
So we got yes and a no then? Yeah. Kind of split? Okay. It was less. 22 was $64.05, and 23 was $61.17.
Yeah.
So it went down by like, you know, $3.88.
Way ahead of you now, Derek. I'm way up.
Now what this thing does is kind of interesting is they give a breakdown of what the individual pieces cost.
Yeah.
So so like Russ said, turkey went down 5.6%, and 14 ounces of cube stuffing went down 2.8%, pie went down 4.9%. The big one that went down was whipped cream.
Wow.
22.8%.
We're going to have some extra.
Yeah. Do you have any whipped cream yesterday? I never had any whipped cream.
I just noticed he's doing the finance. You're wondering what house it's going to be in.
Yeah. No, I'm just trying to think. Wait a minute. What if you don't have turkey, if you have just ham?
No, that's the average, though. Yeah. Average people
dinner
have
rolls, they're up 2.9, so the first up. Ingredients to make the meal were down 4.4. I think that's spices and whatever. Pumpkin pie mix up 3.7. Gallon of milk up or down?
I don't know. It's heavily regulated, so it's kind of hard to tell. But I would assume slightly up. Yeah. But
down 2.6.
Okay.
Sweet potatoes unchanged. Veggie tray up or down on veggies?
Up.
Yeah.
2.3. Yep. Up. Yeah. And the last thing is fresh cranberries. Down 18%.
Down? Cranberries went down?
Yeah.
I still won't eat them.
Last year was a bad bad market.
So, Len, let me ask you this question. 2021 compared to 2023, higher or lower?
Lower.
So 20.
I mean, no, 21?
Yeah, 21.
Was still lower.
So 21 was lower than 23?
I think so.
I would agree.
Oh, yeah, quite a bit. So 21 was $53.31. Compared to 61.17 for 23, so big difference.
You go down to 2019, it's really low.
So what you're saying is, from 21 to 23, it's about 20% higher.
Yeah. You go back to 19 when turkey was $11 for a 16-pound turkey. Yeah. You know, it was quite a bit cheaper.
Yeah. So, anyways, they always throw that out on the radio, so I figured we're.
So you got your 50 plus family done for like $60.
That was a family of five or six or something.
I think it was all free because it was a potluck. If you don't bring anything, you get to eat for free.
Somebody paid.
Yeah, we all brought stuff. But
so you talk about that, and the one thing that I want to kind of bring up is kind of what we've done with credit cards over this last couple of years. Now, You all remember at the end of Q1, at the end of March, the average, well, the total credit card balances in the United States was just past $1 trillion. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of Q2, so at the end of June, they published the study that said, well, the average, the credit card balances is $1.03 trillion. Doesn't sound like a big move, does it?
Oh, yeah, point
one
oh,
to 1.03, statistically, everybody doesn't pay attention to how big that
so
number is.
So 03 is what? Is that $30 million or $300
million? $30 billion.
$30 billion.
$30 billion more on credit card debt in 3 months.
Small percentage, big money. Big
now,
money.
What they just published the study. Do you know what the total credit card balances are as of the end of Q3?
I do not.
Tom? I would have to say higher, but no.
1.079.
Oh. It went up even so rapidly.
So it went up 0.49, but that tells you that's $49 billion more on credit cards in the United States.
So we're not showing any, we're not slowing down.
No, that's spending is continuing, and that tells me that Americans are having a harder time saving money because they're extending their credit card balances.
So let me ask you, what does that do to our national gross product? I mean, what is that? How does that affect that?
Tells me that they're still spending money.
Still spending money. Mm-hmm. It's but so you look at that GDP and you're saying, wow, that's great. No, not we're getting it like this.
Yeah, if it's going on debt and the average of all credit card balances,
yeah.
Do you know what the average of the interest rates are nationwide?
Oh, gosh, I don't, but I'd guess near 20.
I would say higher than 25.
The average is just under 20%. It's 19 and change. And that's because you got people like Tom who have really good credit.
Yeah.
So his interest rate is low. And you got people like Russ who have really bad credit.
Yeah,
so,
see, Tom's going up the curve.
They balance each other out.
But, you know, you think about that number and you say 20% of, it sounds small, $1.079 trillion, but 20% on that. That's $200 billion a
in
year
interest
in interest.
Only. Wow. Does that go into the GDP too?
Well, the spending does, but the interest doesn't. But you know that interest goes back to some company.
So let me. I mean, you could be good on the math, but my head's
I'm
thinking.
Good on the math.
Okay. So you have 1,000 billion is a trillion, right? 1,000
yes.
billion? Okay. So if you have 1,000 at 10%, is 100 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So at 0.049, it's less than I think the numbers you just said. Like what? I think it's a little less than that, isn't it?
You can check.
Well, my phone doesn't go that
okay.
high.
Well,
I actually tried to do it.
Here's but, my take though.
But the point is it's going up pretty substantially.
When you say we're putting billions more on credit card debt, we're putting that much more stress and strain of the interest on most people. I mean, let's be brutally honest. If somebody is very affluent, are they typically carrying credit card balances?
Not really. Pay off every month.
Okay.
Right?
And so you and I have on air talked about, hey, get a credit card, you get the points. So do you do a credit card for points?
Yes.
So you literally run all your shopping through that, but you pay it off like it's cash. So you don't really...
For the most part. Some months might carry a little bit, but... Wife does all that, so.
But when you go down that road and you say, well, wait a minute, the people who are carrying the credit card balances are generally the bread and butter, blue collar worker average, that extra 20% cost is a 20% drain on their household income. That's where it gets scary.
So I think what you're saying is this Christmas season is going to be interesting because we're going to see if the consumers can go out and buy, or if they have weaker buys.
But
if
I don't know, I don't know what's good. I mean, if they buy, I mean, that's not long-term good necessarily.
But that's what the market's looking for. Mm-hmm. They want, you know.
Sure it is. Wall Street wants.
Yeah. But anyways, when you say they're going to buy, as you know, if you get stretched thinner and thinner, you don't buy as much, right? Mm-hmm. If you're, I mean, either credit cards are maxed out. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. Come January, February, it'd be interesting to see how things shake out. And as of right now, some of the retails, I know they came out with some numbers a couple of weeks ago. Some were flourishing, but some of them weren't. So I think it's pretty spotty. Like, I think you'll find out some retails do better than others, but I don't think it's going to be across the board, everybody, you know, big numbers for retail for Christmas.
Well,
really?
I saw some reports on what they were saying on numbers so far. Like, you know, Because really, people start shopping in October, right, for Christmas.
Yeah, Black Friday.
So at this point, the numbers are saying some of them aren't where it should be.
Really?
Meaning, yeah, which isn't a good sign.
Unless that's a scary thing.
Unless they catch up after today, which... And Black Friday is, you know, used to be a day where it was a big day, but now it's pretty much spread out from
now it's October,
November, December, and it's more of a sales pitch.
How many emails did you get starting Wednesday saying early Black Friday, and then they will extend it through? Remember, it used to be Cyber Monday. Now it's like Cyber Week.
No, it's really since October, November, December is Black Friday. I mean, it's a term used for sale.
Well, now it is. It used to be one day. Yeah. It used to be one limited. Day.
But did you drive around? Well, you didn't because you got
I think there was too many fights going on and too many people standing, spending the night in the freezing cold weather trying to get into the store.
But you stop and think about it. And that's, Russ, we've talked about it. I think we did it last year. You know, we don't need to spend as much. We should buy quality items. And you look, I don't care what you spend your money on, but if it's going more on credit and you can't necessarily cover that 20% interest,
scary,
or you don't have a plan to pay it off, the last thing I would want is to see one of my customers go, hey, Tom, I need to pull out $70,000 in my retirement so I can pay off my credit card debt. Would you love people taking future retirement money to pay off the debt that they just got into?
It's not a good idea.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first choice.
No.
But I don't know if I, like you know, everyone's at a different lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I mean, I assume people in this room right now are a little bit, you know, technically better off than the typical American. I mean,
I'm broke.
Did you say broke or broken?
Only on paper, Russ. You're rich. Right?
If you don't put somebody in your top 10, you're going to come out with no teeth, too.
But to your comment, though, I think a lot of the people, if things are more expensive and they don't have as much money, do you think they go for quality, or do you think they just go into Big Five or something and just buy like 10 items that are like kind of...
I think that's what most people do, is they go in and buy a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, quantity. Like quantity, and, you know, cheaper stuff.
And we talked about this. You know, I like decent watches. I don't have really expensive watches.
Yeah.
Russ, you said you had some. You talked about you had a Rolex and sold it.
I got a digital watch.
But you said you no longer have it because you didn't.
Correct. I just didn't use it, and I didn't feel I wanted to use it.
And that's what I'm saying is the big expensive gifts we don't necessarily need. Make it from the heart. Make it something that is more financially affordable.
Yeah.
And I just, when you see that $1.079 trillion, I don't think people understand how big that number is.
That's just scary.
To clarify my Rolex watch, I bought it from the watch doctor on, you know, Fourth Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Refurbished?
Well, his dad, who was also a clocksmith or whatever you call it, is the one that sold it to me. And he got it right after World War II over in Japan.
Wow.
And it's actually a, kind of a cheapy model. It wasn't anything fancy. But he was the original owner of it, so I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So it was $1,000 basically. It wasn't the true. It was a wind up, which I didn't like because you left it on the counter.
But you got rid of it because you didn't need that big expensive.
I got tired of winding it up when it sat there.
For a
day and a half.
Your fingers.
If you didn't wind it up every 24 hours, it would. Yeah, it was old school. So he's like, I got to reset my clock, you know, most on weekends.
If it was automatic, you'd still have it.
Maybe. That could have been it. I mean, it's just too much work on my side. But
so what, you've got other things here, and I see you always come very well prepared with papers.
So here's where things are at, I think. The economy overall, how would you guys rank it? Weak, you know, say... 1 through 10, 1 being very weak, 10 being very strong. How would you guys rank the economy right now?
3 for me.
3? I'd say probably a 5.
Yes, dead on. So it's pretty much right in the middle.
Wow.
And they do that because the GDP number was 4.9 from 2.1. Jobs were coming out a lot stronger.
Yeah, what I don't like about it. The jobs too much weighted on the government jobs, which are really taken away, and on the GDP
Government don't create wealth.
No, they don't.
They don't. Yeah, and they don't create a product.
And the GDP is based on borrowed money, which is going to hurt us. So it scares me. Yeah. So I should have been 2.
But technically, by looking at just the numbers, they got it rated a 5. So economy's not hot, not poor. It's kind of in the middle.
Right.
That's where I think this Christmas thing would be interesting to see. how that pans out. Also, I think the housing market is going to have an effect. Like if the if people don't, because they stop. I read a report like the last I think this week it ticked up pretty good, or maybe the week before. But for like 6 weeks straight, like the mortgage market was flat, right, or pretty much stopped when rates went up quickly.
Yes. So you've seen there was a slight reprieve in rates over the last. I mean, when I say slight reprieve, it's nominal.
But they said that mortgage applications have it's been the highest it's been in, like, I believe they said 90 days or something. Does that seem right?
It does seem right. Now, keep in mind, wintertime when the snow hits in other areas of the country, clearly not here, you do hear things like real estate winter, mortgage winter, because during the winter months, things really slow down for most parts of the country.
So I think if Christmas, see how the shopping comes in, and then also the housing market, I think if rates, you know, drop some more, that's going to be beneficial. You know, I think a lot of people at some point don't have a choice, because I think the supply demand, especially with the demographics right now, the biggest one out there, I'm Generation X, so they're the what's a younger generation? I forgot the name.
Y-Z.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's a huge they're the biggest population out there right now with all the different demographics, and those guys are in the housing market. And a lot of them got a late start. You know, most people bought their house in the 20s. I bought mine when I was 25. When's the first time you bought your house? 28. And they're like pushing low 30s. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have no other choice but to, you know, go into the housing market at whatever rate they get.
Well, and a lot of them. By the way, what happens after Gen Z? What do we wrap back around? Do they become Gen A Gen Z hyphen one? Anyway, back to, you know, the real estate. A lot of the younger people are now getting advice from their parents and uncles and aunts, and all of a sudden they're being told, oh, no, you got to wait till interest rates come back down to the threes. Tom, had you ever seen threes in your lifetime?
Well, what I'm telling my nieces and nephews, because they're in the same spot, some of them are in the housing market, and I said, look, my first house I got into was, I believe, 7 5/8 or maybe 7 3/4. I don't remember. But basically it's, you know, where it's at now, give or take. So I'm telling them, don't worry about interest rates. I mean, if you can afford a house, you're not going to pay rent, bite the bullet. Worst case scenario, you can refinance if things go back the other way. But don't sit there and do nothing. Yeah. You know, if the timing's right, do it.
Well, and you look around, you say, you know, everybody wants this instant gratification no matter what. And this is more your area. But how long does it typically take somebody to become a millionaire in this country? From broke debt, from
the average American. Hey, the average American probably. I mean, the average probably won't. But if you took the upper quarter.
So if you say, you know, again, they say 5% of Americans have a net worth of over a million. That means 95% don't. But to the person who, because everybody wants to be a millionaire, when you say from broke and I'm throwing down the gauntlet and I'm going to get it to the time you become a millionaire. The study, what do you think the average timeline to get there is?
You know what? I would go back to what type of risk someone wants to take, because you get these.
No, just average. Just
okay. I would say low 40s.
Okay, so now you're talking age, but how long from the time I start working to the time I get there when I decide?
So say 22 to 40, so 18 years.
18?
Maybe 18 to 25 years?
I would say 30.
You're spot on. It's 22 years.
22
years. So good job, Tom. Now, you think 22 years to get there, and how many homes are you going to own over a 20-year run?
Assuming you're making the money through real estate, because some other people make it other ways.
Well, no. I'm just saying the average person, how many homes will you own in 20 years?
I would say 3.
Okay. So if he says 3, what do you say, Russ?
5.
Okay, so, you know, technically I would always say 4.
We were wrong.
Well, hey, no, but if you said, hey, I'm going to own 4 homes in 20 years.
Sure.
If you simply made the decision that I'm going to keep the previous one, turn it into a rental, and move up the food chain, you literally are going to own more than $1 million worth of real estate. And after 20 years, really the first one is almost paid off. Mm-hmm. You could get there and you go sit down with somebody like you. You could almost not, you can't guarantee, you could almost guarantee that you could be there if you just did a simple process. And when you go back,
real quick, let me throw that out. So most a lot of Americans have 401ks that are matched by their employer. So if you just got the 401k match, which is usually 5%, and you did that from 22 to 40, you would have in there, at least, my opinion, probably 200,000, quarter of a million right there. Okay. Then those two or three, four houses you're talking about, mm-hmm. you're probably breaching close to it.
So that's this get rich slow mentality. And let's not even call it rich. Let's get wealthy slow, that most people want to win the lottery and they're going to go do this. You know, how many people, that's their retirement plan. How many people do you know, I'm going to win the lottery. I'm going to do X, Y, or Z.
Considering how many tickets are sold, you're probably not far off. I mean,
how many did you buy this last week?
None.
Okay.
You know what I noticed, though, is there's a true fact that the lot of immigrants that come in here basically accelerate to millionaire status mm-hmm. a lot quicker than what we just talked about. But then you look at the sacrifices they do. So they basically have two or three households living in one house. That means families.
Yeah.
They usually hold, you know, if they don't have any education, they're usually holding two or three jobs and working, you know, 15, 16 hours. I mean, when it's all said and done, they rat hole most mm-hmm. of the money. And then they basically, as a group, they pull the money and they start buying either real estate or other businesses. And then they basically start propping each one up in this little network. And it works pretty well. I mean, you know, you always wonder why, you know, we don't have the you know, do you want to live with two of your other siblings and their families? Probably not. I don't.
I live in a cardboard box first.
But the point is they sacrifice and they take risk.
Correct. That's the right way to go. That's smart.
Yeah. And if you listen to, you know, outside of the United States, the U.S. is still listed as, you know, the land of the dream.
Opportunity.
You can have opportunity.
It is by comparison.
And it's
still But you got to pick it up, right? I mean, you got to take advantage of it.
Where did the 40-hour work week come from? Because we have this belief that, hey, I get 40 hours, and after 40 hours, I get overtime because I don't have to work more than 40 hours.
If you're salaried, it doesn't matter, right?
Well it's an exception.
I know you salary all your people.
You're exempt.
What card, hey?
But think of when did that happen?
Probably in the unions, so like in the 60s?
It was the labor unions that, 60s, that turned it 50s, into a 40-hour work week.
Yeah.
And so the person who really wants to get ahead, Tom, when you were first getting your business up and running, how many hours a week did you work or still work?
I mean, I still worked Saturdays, and you know, if I wake up early, I go in there and, I don't know, I don't want to say.
55, 60 hours?
Yeah, that's fair, 60.
Russ? You? Oh. You're here early. You're at your shop late. I mean,
I do 30 just on the radio.
So you look at the 40 hours. The 40 hours is kind of like this bare minimum that most people who are getting ahead are putting in 55 and 60 hours, and it's for years at a time or a decade at a time.
Right.
And then, you know, you see them 10 years later and you're like, oh my gosh, they're so lucky. Look at what they have. No. Those wrinkles on the face and the gray hair, that's not luck. That's the working.
So I have not a funny story, but an interesting story. So one of the high school kids that I know, you know, he was ranked top 10% of his class, smart kid. When I see him, I'm like, what schools are you looking at to get into college? And he was looking at some schools. Saw him last couple of weeks ago, and I said, hey, so where are you going? Did you get accepted or whatever? He goes, well, I actually got to change a plan. I go, what's that? Because I'm not going to go to school, college. And this guy's very smart kid, and you can tell college material. And his dad has a college degree, and mom has a college degree, so you know that. But anyways, he goes, what are you going to do? He goes, I'm going to work two jobs and basically buy real estate. And then I looked at him, I said,
really?
I can't tell you no, because ultimately, if you stick to that plan, you will probably be ahead of the game when you're 30 years old mm-hmm. compared to a college kid coming out at 22 nowadays.
With a big debt to pay back, you know, student loan.
Yeah. Well, just the con, you know. So anyways, I don't know what books he was reading or who turned him on to that, but when he looked at me, I was like, you know what? As long as you stick to what you're saying, you're probably going to be one of the first millionaires out of your high school class. I mean, that's how simple it is, really, to some degree.
Yeah, it could be.
So, and he talked about, I'm going to live with my parents. save more money.
And that's that sacrifice thing that most of them don't do. They want to, you know, borrow money to buy a car that gets them noticed by
buy the new iPhone.
Somebody that doesn't matter. You need to take a break.
Hey, we'll be right back. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage, NMLS number 180899, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they believe they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. Visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com and find out why investors switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage, NMLS number 180899, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113, Arizona BK 0904081, LO number 0915245.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Happy Thanksgiving weekend, everybody. Hope you're still enjoying the day. I think a lot of people take off Fridays if they can. I mean, I know my office is skeleton crew today.
Mm-hmm.
How about yours?
Everybody's closed, so it's a holiday for us. And, yeah, I was in there cleaning.
Yeah, so anyways. But talking about what's going on in the economy, and we call it capital market indicators. So let me ask you this next question. The stock market had a heck of a rally. The month of November, I think, was one of the best months they've said in like 20 years. I think it did about the S&P did about over 10% swing back up.
Wow.
So it was really good.
Wow.
Now, you were telling me when the stock market goes up, then that's good or bad for the bond business or your mortgage business?
Bad, typically.
Bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So with that big move up, did the mortgage market fluctuate?
Well, so it did, but remember, the first half of November, we were actually getting worse, and then the last, say, 9-10 days, we've had a slight reprieve.
Yeah.
But we're still at the same levels that, if you go backwards, that we were at the end of September. So it's not like, oh my gosh, rates are significantly down. We haven't seen a huge move yet.
Okay. So there's another indicator they looked at, which is called the valuation of the stock market. So the stock market isn't at all time high, but it has rallied back some. July was the high point, and then July, August, September, October, things kind of went down a little bit, and now they're kind of rallying back. But anyways, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 meaning 1 super expensive, 10 meaning cheap, and then they do this through metrics like PE ratios and things of that sort. I won't get into the details, but where do you think the stock market's valued at right now? Would you 1 through 10, 1 meaning, you know, very rich, 10 meaning pretty
five.
Cheap.
3.5.
So it's actually at 1.8.
What?
Really expensive.
Which means that the market is expensive for value, mm-hmm. which means there's actually a lot of room for failure, meaning any little bit of news that doesn't come in right could cause this thing to tailspin down. And that's where, again, with Christmas being right around the corner, it'd be interesting to see how it shakes out. I think that's going to be the first sign of what's going on. So yeah, the market's not cheap. I mean, last thing is we look at is called sentiment, which means they do polls on Americans and say, how do you feel about the economy? How do you feel about your personal household? And you know, bearish and bullish. So again, 1 through 10, 1 meaning bearish, 10 meaning bullish, like very happy. Where do you think the sentiment is for the typical American?
Bearish.
2.5.
Got to give a number.
Oh, one, a number.
One meaning ultra bearish.
Two.
two. Yeah. Okay, they're actually at four and a half, so almost in the middle to five.
Are these people kidding themselves?
Well,
but are there that many people doing well? I mean, I don't see the average family doing well.
Here's the thing, though.
They're losing ground.
Yeah, but here's the thing. 75% of the GDP number, which is the gross domestic products, based on Americans buying.
Right.
And as long as Americans think they can buy and they say the glass is still kind of half full.
Right.
Even if it's not, that's what matters, right? It's kind of like a disillusion. Like, if everybody thinks, you know, tomorrow's going to be a great day, then people will buy into it. If everyone thinks, you know, there's even been times in history where the numbers were good, everything was good, but for whatever reason, the American sentiment got negative.
Right.
Usually for an event or something. Mm-hmm. And then everyone, it caused, you know, a false negative that spread into a bigger negative.
The thing I worry about, though, Tom, is all the signs I've seen for, you know, next year, the future, and what we're building is negative to me. I mean, building more debt, putting more things overseas. You know, our inflation numbers are higher, I mean, in reality, than they're showing up on paper when you start talking about food and bacon and everything else.
And the debt concerns me, and when you're talking about things that are overvalued,
energy concerns me.
That's a huge concern. When you see things like the overvaluation of the market, look at how little it took. Now, keep in mind, you know, the whole GameStop thing. Remember that?
Yeah.
When there was that push and the shortage.
That was a weird deal.
And it took just a few people to emotionally make a push, and you changed dramatically the GameStop stock, right?
Yeah.
And when you say things are significantly overvalued, well, how little of a push does it take to do something like that again on, you know, sectors or an individual stock?
It's fragile.
Yeah, it really is, because it goes back to, it's almost that emperor's new clothes.
Yep.
You know, what was Alan Greenspan's old term? Irrational exuberance. You know, how many times are we just, I hope it's going to be okay. I hope I'm going to get that lottery ticket. I hope that stock still keeps going up. And if you're telling me that it is at, you said, 1.0 something,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It can't get any more overvalued per that scale. Maybe it can, but you know, you look at the debt, how much of the market is held up because our debt keeps going up and you're not pulling money out of the market. I'm just curious if you have other people calling and saying, hey, I need to pull some money out to do something. Because I have people all the time fighting, saying, well, I need money to pay off my debt, but my house is at such a good interest rate. Here's an example. I've got a guy who been a client for a long time. He owed about $150,000 on his house. It's worth probably high threes, low fours right now.
Yeah.
But his interest rate was at four, and he owed about $100,000 worth of other stuff, cars and credit cards and personal property. Now, his house was at four. The average of those interest rates on everything else was combined about 16.
Okay.
So he's paying almost as much, you know, $150,000 on the house, $100,000 over here.
Sure.
We did do a refinance to put everything together because the blended rate saved him a lot of money, and he's actually paying $1,500 less per month. Now, it was that, or he was going to cash out all of his savings. You know, again, he's at that tipping point to say, I either got to lose all of my monies for retirement or I got to rearrange this debt. Yeah. Now, that was a good move.
Good move. I mean, $1,500 a month can help someone out quite a bit. The bigger question you see, and I see this with my clients, is just the discipline. Because this guy, you know, is getting an extra $1,500 a month. Fast forward about 12 months from now, let's see what he's doing with it.
Well,
because he could be right back in the debt again.
That's a great question.
I'm opinionated enough that I typically have this conversation with everybody and say, look, if you're going to save $1,500, you better immediately take 50% of that and put it away. I don't care how, fully fund your 401k, call Tom and give it to the guys over there. Do something with it. Yes, use the other part, you know, use the other 50% to live on so you don't get into this problem again. But if you could save $1,500, man, you better be putting $750 a month away, which is more than nine grand a year.
Which I think you're generous, because if I were, I mean, I would have said you spend 25.
Well, you know,
sock away 75.
But you know why I do that? We talk about psychology a lot on this show. You know why I do that?
Why is that?
Because 50%, half feels like it's okay. When I used to say things that were more, people would get grumpy. You could read their face, and they're like, "Oh, you're full of it, Derek. I can't do that. That's awful." But as soon as you say half, you keep half. You know, that's the old.
It's a friendly number. Yeah.
You know, so the half psychologically works. Anything above that, and you turn into Russ Clark, just angry and grumpy.
And living in a dirt lot with a dog.
Yeah, I said cardboard lot. Cardboard.
So. Do you ever, take out the, you said he had personal property. I mean, we don't need to give, names or anything, but are you talking about land in that?
No.
Or
like,
just
like he had a side-by-side, a boat,
a
his
razor
car.
And stuff like that. Okay. So did the big thing to him is say, look, we don't, we live and learn, right? I mean, we all live and learn with our money. Mm-hmm. I've made some bad choices with my money.
We all have.
So the thing that he should recognize, and hopefully you, because if you tell someone, hey, you're terrible, you're not good with your money, you blow it too much, you're terrible, that's just going to clam up and be like, God, this guy's Derek, let me get the hell out of the office.
Yeah, it's worse than
But if
mom.
You start having like a conversation of like, so why, now you get this stuff cleared again, like, why are you, feel the root of, are you going to go back and get these toys again? Because you're going to be the same spot 5 years from now if you don't control that.
Yeah.
And then and that's what's probably the biggest thing to help somebody is to let them know, chalk that up for experience, but we don't want to do that again.
Well, if you come into my office, behind my desk, I've got my four rules framed behind me. And I go through
like
that.
Like your family, your personal rules?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. What are they? I like to hear them.
So, number one, I want everybody to have 6 months worth of savings. So, I need to do a written budget with you or go home and do it. But I want to know what you spend monthly. And I need you to get to the point that you have 6 months worth of that saved just for all of the what ifs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once you do that, then do you have a primary residence that's about three times your income? Do you have something that you're starting to pay down and live in? Then
is that the kind of rule of thumb when you buy a house, you want to look for about three times your income?
About that. Three.
Okay.
Again, with the way people earn, somewhere between three and four times their income, depending on their income, but
sure.
About three times. Once you've got the primary residence, then are you fully funding your employer-sponsored retirement plan, starting to invest in something? But if you're going to get a match, like you had mentioned, the 401k match, if an employer is going to give you a 100% match of what you put in there, how can you give up 100% rate of return on your money?
Guaranteed,
So do that. And then the fourth one is come up with something else, whether it's pick five stocks, pick an IRA, go sit down with
college fund,
something,
maybe.
College fund. You start another savings and then you go back and do it again. So if you've done that, then remember we talked about the 20 years for a millionaire.
Yeah.
I expect you to live in a home for 5 years. So in 5 years, we're going to go back and we're going to buy another home that's about three times your income. Because would you expect people's income to go up over a 5 year window?
Hope so.
So you need to buy a slightly bigger home in 5 years. What do you do with the old home? Turn it into a rental property. So now are you still fully funding your 401k? Are you still sending money over to Tom at Yuma Investment Group? And you just do this four-step process, and it's super simple. So back to what you had asked that client, we went through that. Like, look, you've got the personal property. You've got the side-by-side. You've got the boat. You've got the toys. You don't need to refinance anything ever again. Now let's start you saving, because at some point, you need to be able to retire, because you can't keep working the job you're working until you're 90. You just can't.
And I think what you said right there is if they lived in their primary house and went out and bought a second house for a rental, you're putting all different types of money down.
Oh, yeah,
right?
You're putting 20.
But if you go into every house as a primary.
You got it.
You want to explain that? Because I don't know if listeners
that's
get that.
That's the secret. And I almost say I play Monopoly with real money for a living. That's what you do is. When you buy a rental property, you're putting 20% down, typical. Yes, there's some unique niche programs, but call it 20% down. But if it's an owner-occupied, when you're going into a normal conventional loan, it's 5% down. So if you're telling me that every 5 years I can go buy a new home, and you could do it faster, but on average, every 5 years you put 5% down and you get to turn the old one into a rental without having to put any more money into it as a downstroke. You could have four homes for literally what you would have to put down on one rental property. So it's just this It's like playing chess. You just get to move the pieces around the board, but nobody wins in the first few moves. I mean, I don't. Russ clearly doesn't.
Neither do I.
So
that's right. Oh, yeah, that's
but
true.
You know, that's kind of it.
And a lot of people are like, oh, you know, I like my house. Okay, that's fine. But usually, if you go out and find another house, you can find it either comparable or sometimes you can move into like a newer house.
Yeah.
So, you know, the appliances are better, paint job's a little better,
or things that you may need or not need anymore. So there's always reasons to do it, especially over a 2-decade period. Now, I know we've got 15 minutes left. There's two things I want to do. You wanted to talk about the Yuma Catholic game. I want to talk about the tower lighting this weekend. So you
sure. So Yuma Catholic has their semifinals conference, which means there's four teams left, and it's going to be at Yuma Catholic. They had the number one seed, so they actually had the last three games in Yuma, which was really good for us Yuma people. So that's nice. But you have to get online to buy the ticket. You can't buy the tickets at the door. And they're playing I don't know if it's Acadia, but it's another team that's undefeated, and they haven't played them yet. So it's going to be a really dog fight, I think.
And that game is this evening.
This evening, yep. Okay. I believe at 7 o'clock. Yeah. Yep. So highly recommended. A lot of energy when you go to those games. I think the last game at halftime was last Friday. It was like a 2-point difference at halftime. Luckily, they came ahead a little bit more, but it was very, very – these conference games are good because they got – good teams.
So they step up.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And when you say that, you know, people say, oh, there's nothing to do in Yuma. No, there is. There's some great high school sports here. Support Yuma Catholic. Support the other high schools. Support the high school athletics.
Yeah.
There's also the tower lighting this weekend. Russ, where is that?
Right now by the Civic Center.
The big water tank,
so,
right?
The big water tower, the Christmas tree. So tomorrow that happens. So that's going to be over at, you know, pull up to the Desert Sun Stadium, Caballeros de Yuma putting that on. So El Presidente Jeff Johnson and our chairman, Matt DeCorey, wanted me to mention that. You know, again.
And you do what you're told. That's nice.
For the most part.
So what what kind of, it's been a while, but mm-hmm. I've been. So it's a great family event, right?
It's a great family event that it is short in duration. So, it's about an hour and a half is what it's going to take. You are going to show up with some canned goods. And is there a cost to this event?
So the entry, they want canned food.
Yep.
Bring some canned
goods.
It's
a free event, but there is, you know, bring canned goods that is donated to the less fortunate.
The mission.
I don't know if it's the mission or something.
That's what's on the website.
Okay. So that's who it's going to this year. And then there's always a bucket collecting donations that goes to them also. None of it stays with the Caballeros.
Right.
There's always free hot chocolate. There's, you know, just
Christmas music.
Yeah, there's Christmas music playing. But when you come in, now there's going to be about a dozen different groups that they're singing, there's dancing, there's some patriotic stuff. And then you get to introduce the last year's Citizen of the Year.
And Derek's the MC.
Am I?
Yeah.
Shoot, I should go practice.
Yeah, you better study.
But then we light the tower, and then Santa Claus comes in on his sleigh, and there's opportunities for pictures and candy canes with Santa Claus. And within a 2-hour window, you're back home. It's a great event, and it really kicks off the holiday season.
I think they announced the pageant winners too, right? And they usually do that, don't they?
The Yuma royalty is there, and Russ would know about that. So
yeah, they'll all be there. There'll be
lots of coaching,
and I think. Which sisters are the ones that went to sing? The Gwen sisters
will be there.
I understand they're going to be there. They're very nice.
Entertainment. Huh?
Yeah, that's what I say. There's some great singers that are there. Mm-hmm. There's some great dancing.
And you are the MC, huh?
I am.
Congrats.
Yeah. Say congrats. It's a lot of work.
They called Russ and he wouldn't answer his phone. It's the weirdest thing.
He has that radio voice.
I do. I have the face for radio. That is for certain.
I avoid them.
So those two are going to be happening this weekend. So get out there to the Yuma Catholic game, especially if they're the number one seed. My gosh, let's support Yuma Athletics.
So what about the Balloon Festival? I mean, I saw the balloons got up, which was good because they were iffy about the wind, but it was pretty successful.
They,
right?
they went very well.
That was a great event. They had 20 of them launch on Saturday. The glow was fantastic. Had a lot of people out there.
It was fun.
I saw more pictures of that this year on social media flying around than ever before. So that was cool.
Yeah.
And
I took grandkids. You know, they love that.
Mm-hmm. Get them right up close to the basket when the burners are
flames
going.
Have you guys ever been in a hot air balloon?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's pretty relaxing, isn't it? I mean, it feels like you're floating.
Well, it's uniquely quiet and calm.
Yeah. I don't like it either.
You don't?
He likes noise and
too
loud.
Quiet and calm, you know.
He likes loud gasoline engines that are...
To me, it was kind of a soothing feeling. I mean, you can see you're getting off the ground and its height, which I'm a little afraid of heights, but it's not
the height that gets you. It's the stop at the bottom, Tom.
Everything was very smooth, and it was very like you're floating almost. But
you liked it, though.
I've only been in it one time, but I liked it, yeah.
I'd do it again. It was fun. So Thanksgiving always reminds me, let's be grateful, but it shouldn't just be one day of the year. And, Russ, I asked you to do something last week.
I haven't completed it yet, and 100 things I'm thankful for. Although I've had a lot of discussions. And
you're not allowed to lobby and cajole and negotiate.
I have a girlfriend, and I was negotiating, do you want to be in the top 10? Of my things I'm thankful for type stuff. You think you belong there? You know,
she made number 9. Or what?
Oh, now, she better be up
so
there.
So, Tom, for your benefit, what I challenged him, and I do this with everybody in my office, is come up with a list of 100 things that you're grateful for.
It's pretty easy.
And then read it often, if not every morning. Just
throughout
read
the whole
through
year,
that.
You mean? Kind of thing?
God, Country, Family. We picked up the first 3, obviously, you know, and we're right in there. That's
difficult to sit down and start coming up with a list?
Oh, no. It's difficult to have it, to limit it. Because having a lot of conversations where we're talking about everything we're thankful for, you know, from hummingbirds to gravel highways, you know.
Did it change your perspective when you actually had conversations about that?
Correct. Though? Well, because it you're focusing on the things that you like or happy that you may not even think about at that time, you know.
Yeah. So one thing we did this year, and it's kind of by random luck, but I think it's starting to pick up, is at the chamber mixer out of D&H Electric, which is a really nice chamber mixer.
Yeah, that's the best.
I won the big 85-inch TV on the drawing.
Really?
Yeah. But anyways, after, you know, everyone in the room is probably like, God, this guy needs a TV, like, you know, needs a hole in the head.
Yeah,
but,
85 inches. I don't
but anyway, so
smaller than all his other TVs.
So I got, believe me, if the TV doesn't break, I use it. I don't, you know. But anyways, so I got thinking about that. I said, you know what? I'm going to make a $500 donation to the first nonprofit that answers on Facebook. It had to be the executive director, not someone from a nonprofit.
Yeah.
So that actually went out to the Children's Museum Center. So she answered first, so she got $500. And then I said, hey, I'm going to also give $500 in Fred Dammeyer's behalf. So he gets to pick a nonprofit.
Okay.
So he went on social media and said, who should I pick? And kind of got it going. Anyways, he ended up picking the Elks Club. So basically, but then he challenged Chris Wheeler, who owns a prison brewery, to basically, he's going to donate $5 on Chris's behalf.
$500.
Oh, yeah.
$500.
Yeah,
okay.
$500. And then Chris gets to pick his nonprofit, which I'm sure will happen here pretty quick. But through December, I think we're going to keep it going. And that's an idea. So Chris is probably going to throw that ball in someone else's court.
Wow.
And ultimately, if we can do this maybe 10 times. Mm-hmm. It's $5,000 that kind of came out of nowhere.
Pretty funny.
Hey, Russ, check your social media. You probably just got
saying
on one.
He'll probably, delete his account. Yeah. So, anyways, that was kind of neat. I thought, hey, we should do that every year because it's.
Now it's fun and it's a way to do it. But I'm going to ask: are you grateful that you have the disposable resources to give away that money? You know, sometimes we don't pay attention that how blessed we are. We complain about, oh, that guy just cut me off on the way to work, whatever. Maybe they're on their way to their third job, and that's the only way they can pay for their family, you know. So super blessed that really we live in this country at the greatest time on earth, you know, greatest country on earth, and we could do more like that to challenge and be helpful. It's not about... You know, it's not about Tom winning the TV. It's about he was grateful for it, and he used that as a reason to donate money somewhere
else. Well, and then you end up leveraging money. So anytime you get to gift money but leverage it, so if this $500, you know, donation that Fred gave to somebody, and that gets leveraged 5 more times, like to me, that's technically a $500 donation that turned into $5,000.
Yeah,
which is not all my money. So that, to me, leveraging gifts are the best way to get it.
Yeah, that's good. Leverage someone else's money.
Yeah.
That's
well,
awesome.
No, seriously, though.
Yeah.
The other thing is, you know, people don't think about this, but, you know, we have a billboard. I think we pay $500 a month for a billboard. We have a digital one.
Uh-huh.
You know, and if you get a social media run that stays on, I mean, that's worth something, too, from a, just from a marketing standpoint. So I'm not saying it's all done for marketing, but the point is, like, you know, I've spent worse money on things that, you know, didn't do anything. So at least this is the fun of giving. Well, and against social media. I mean, I think people are going to probably start following him and see who Chris Wilder is going to give it to. And then I'm sure he's going to hopefully step up and make the same offer of, Chris. You know. Yeah. So if not, and don't break the chain, Chris.
All good. It really is all good. And it's okay to sometimes do those things anonymously. Do it because it feels good, too. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a big presentation. And that's what's...
Well, what's cool about this is we're clearly in the spotlight. Yeah. Like, if someone breaks his chain,
do it,
like, it's pressure. You got to keep it going. So I like that. You know, make someone step up a little bit.
So Tom's the guy who brings the guilt. That's what I think I just heard this year.
Yeah, it's not exactly guilt. Right. It's just saying, you know, if you make it, you know, a lot of people, I hate to... I'm not going to say this, but a lot of people, for the most part, you know, if people can stroke a check and no one knows about it, like, I think a lot of people wouldn't stroke a check. So... It's my opinion.
I think his new nickname is going to be TGR, Tom Guilt Rush.
Maybe.
My siblings say I'm pretty good at riling up, you know.
Okay, so anything else on your 100 list?
There's everything on it. I mean, we probably came up with much more than 100 as we start discussing. Because, you know, you start including people in your lives.
Did you write them down?
Some of them, yeah.
Okay, next show, I want to hear them all.
That's what I told him last show, and he was supposed to have it done this show. And
some of that stuff's probably private, right? I wouldn't want people to know my inner thoughts.
Oh, I'm not private on anything. I don't care.
You know.
But as you started having that discussion, did your girlfriend start her list?
Of course.
Did your daughter start her list?
And even at Thanksgiving, because we've had all these conversations, you know, my new son-in-law who got married, you know, had the prayer for Thanksgiving.
Buckman.
And it started out with things that you're thankful for, and he made everyone around the room do the same thing, you know, which is all started because we were all discussing.
Yeah, that's Midwestern values right there.
Yeah, things that we're all thankful for and all that. And the kids, it was great. It was fun to have the kids.
Mm-hmm. They said a couple things too, right?
Of course. I mean, they have to join the party. They want to be engaged.
Yeah. From a control freak, because otherwise he wouldn't let him eat, kind of like his dog.
Did your dog come up as being
dog wasn't there that day. You know, we kept the dog at home. But even the 1.5-year-old gray skull, you know, he grunted a few things. I don't know what it meant.
I think it was Big Dragon.
Maybe the Big Dragon.
Big Dragon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is not up anymore. Now it's the Grinch, right?
We have a 10-foot Grinch out in front of the house now. The Dragon's been put away for next year.
How did they get you as a blow-up 10-foot tall?
Don't even start.
any grateful things for you? You didn't know about the list, but gratitudes?
I'm pretty excited about this Yuma Catholic game, to be honest with you. My brother-in-law's a coach.
That's not
Star Wars, but
he's been the coach there for a decade.
Yeah,
better.
Yeah, his son's playing. His son's a senior, so I think you know that's good. But you go to like the ASU U of A game. Got to trek up there. You got to spend money. You got to do whatever.
Yeah.
This is a good sporting event here in Yuma.
Can we still
tailgate?
I think
it costs you $10 to get in.
Can we tailgate?
You can tailgate in the parking lot, I'm sure. but anyways, I'm excited about that. It should be good.
Yeah.
I'm taking all my nieces and nephews out tomorrow. I did a group text. I got a ton of them. Said, hey, I will be buying lunch and some, if they're over 21, maybe some drinks, and they got the text back of, you know. So I do that every Thanksgiving just to stay in as the number one uncle.
Oh, geez. Now, where are you taking them?
I'm not going to.
You don't
want
to say?
Yeah, I don't want to say because I might get other people tagging along. But it should be fun, though.
You got like 10 seconds.
Hey, this is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Thank you to everybody who has served, is serving, or family members have served in our armed forces to allow us to live in the greatest country on earth at the greatest time in history.
Yep. You will have a great weekend. Be safe.
The opinions voiced in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis Wealth are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.